Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we started the chapter Babu ma yaquluhu man aishahu bil maut man aishahu min hayatihi. The chapter on what should be said by the person who has lost hope of life. In other words, from the outward symptoms, the medical symptoms, etc. Now you understand that this is his last phase of life. So what du'as should this person make? What supplications should he make? What words should he be using? So we did a du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yesterday, a very beautiful du'a. And one of the last words Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, one of the last du'a that he made, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni walhiqni bil rafiq al a'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me, show mercy upon me, and join me up with the highest companion, with the highest friend. And then we explained that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was teaching us also that this good companionship, good friendship is something that you don't only desire in the dunya, but even in the akhirat also you must have desire that you want to be with good company, good people. That's why the sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him that make what dua you want, ask what you want. And then he told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, inni as'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm asking you for your companionship in Jannah. In other words, the thing that I desire is not the things of Jannah and the beauty and the pleasures. I desire your company in Jannah. This was the desire of sahaba also. Allah Pak grant us the desire to be joined up with good company. Yusuf alayhi salam made a similar dua, Rabbi qad atitani min al-mulki wa allamtani min ta'wil al-hadith, fatir al-samawati wal-ard, anta waliyi fi dunya wal-akhirah. The last part of the dua, tawaffani muslimu wa al-hiqni bis-salihin. Allah Pak caused me to pass away as a Muslim, wa al-hiqni bis-salihin, join me up with the pious people. So this was the desire also of Anbiya alayhi salam, that they be joined up with the pious. So we do one more hadith on this chapter. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو بالموت. That عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها mentions that I saw رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم on the throes of death. عنده قدح فيه ماء. By him he had a bowl. By his side he had a bowl full of water. وهو يدخل يده في القدح. He would take his hand and enter it into that water. ثم يمسح وجهه بالماء. Then he would take that wet hand of his and he would wipe his face. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had a very high fever, and one of the methods of cooling the fever was to take some water and wipe himself. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would make this dua. The beauty of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is every part of his life, every moment of his life, he was connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was making dua. Even in this condition also, he was right there at the throes of death. At that time also he was putting his hand in the water, wiping it in his face, and making dua also. Allahumma أعني على غمرات الموت أو سكرات الموت. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you for protection from the pangs and the pains of mort. From the pangs and the pains of mort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm asking you for protection. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu say that after I saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam going through this pangs and the difficulty of mort, I didn't think it to be bad if anybody went through it. Before that, I would think it is a bad sign that this person is going through sakarat and is going through difficult times at the time of death. I would think it's a very bad sign. But when I saw the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also experienced difficulty at the time of death, I realized this is not a bad sign. This is some sign, or this is a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes upon every person, every human being. Some people it's shorter, some people it's longer. But it's no indication whether it's a bad death or a good death. It's got nothing to do with indicating upon a person's death. This is some symptoms that overcomes a person by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So definitely we can't say that this is a bad sign, a good sign. So this Nabi alayhi salatu, how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also went through some difficulty, so that we can't think bad of any person we see going through some difficulty. If Allah Pak called his most beloved to go through some difficulty at the time of death. Imam Nawawi brings another chapter also related to Babu istihbabi wasiyati ahli al-maridi wa may yakhdimuhu bil ihsan. The chapter on the desirability being good, the preferability of advising the family of the person looking after the sick, وَمَنْ يَخْدِمُهُ, and whoever is making khidmat of that sick person, بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيْهِ وَاحْتِمَالِهِ وَالصَّبْرِ عَلَى مَا يَشُكُّ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ, that show ihsan, show kindness to the sick person, be tolerant with him, whatever difficulties you're getting from him, make sabr upon them. This is a very important thing, because to look after a sick person is not a very easy thing. Not every person can handle it. So to encourage the family that's looking after the sick person is also part of our deen. That encourage that person, that look after him. Allah Pak will reward you. There are so many rewards for looking after the sick person. That one hadith we did, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell a person on the day of Qiyamah that I was not well and you didn't come visit me. And this person out of shock will say, "Anta Rabbul Alameen, that you are the Lord of all the world. How could I have visited you?" Allah Pak will tell that person that, "Didn't you know that such and such a servant of mine was sick? If you came to him and visited him, you would have actually found me there." It's as though you visit. Imagine you're looking after a sick person in the house. It's as though you got the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your own home. So these sort of things need to be encouraged to tell a person. And very often you'll find people saying adverse things. You know, why others are not taking a turn to look after this person? Why only you have to look after? These are very, very dangerous statements to make. Actually, we are encouraged to encourage those people and give them support, as much support as we can, to look after the sick person. Because this is the spirit of our deen, this is the spirit of Islam. And every person wants to try and help the next person. And very often it's somebody's own parents. And people complain also that being the parent, I have to live out of a suitcase. Because 2-3 weeks in one house, and from this house they send me to the next house, to the next house they send me to the next house. No person likes to live like that. But if they show love, they show respect, they show muhabbat, not only are they giving du'as from the heart, but there's so much of blessings for keeping a sick person in the home. So therefore Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi is saying that this is the desirability of encouraging those people that are looking after being in khidmat of the sick person, that be patient, make sabr, be kind to this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. وَكَذَا الْوَصِيَّةُ بِمَنْ قَرُبَ سَبُبَ مُوتِهِ بِحَدٍ أَوْ قِصَاصٍ وَنَحْوِهِمَا. And similarly, to advise a person that is looking after a person or taking care of a person who is now close to mort because of some punishment. In Islam, you know, that if a person, for example, commits zina and all the necessary proofs are brought, and in Islamic state, then, for example, stoning is against him, or a person has killed somebody. Now in Islam, there's qisas, that a life for a life. So this person now, he's on a death sentence, and very shortly he will be killed. Islam is saying, even that person, look after him properly. Why? Such a beautiful thing. It's because that punishment for his sin is that qisas, is that retribution. Don't overstep the mark and start treating him badly. Often it will happen that our family will feel that this person has brought disgrace to us. So now they will start marginalizing him, prejudicing him, and they will be upset with him, so they won't take care of him. Islam is saying, no. His punishment he's going to get for what he did. Beyond that, don't make zulam and treat him badly. Even that person also you treat well. So much of balance, so much of beauty in Islam, that even when it comes to somebody doing wrong, and this also teaches us a lesson, somebody may have done wrong, they've got the punishment for it, they've did something, for example, they stole, and they may have been reprimanded, or they've been asked to return that money. Now that punishment has already taken place, there is no need for now to try and marginalize that person, and to take extra action against the person, and to be against the person all the time. This is not part of our deen. Islam is saying that even when a person is meted out with the highest punishment, penal punishment, even then also, don't overstep the mark. Treat that person also well. وعن إمران بن حسين رضي الله عنه أن إمرأة من جهينة أتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهي حبلى من الزنا. إمران بن حسين رضي الله عنه, he says that one woman came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم from the حبلى tribe. She came from the Juhayna tribe. She came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while she was pregnant from zina. So this woman was from the Juhayna tribe and she was pregnant from zina. She came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَصَبْتُ حَدًّا فَأَقِمْهُ عَلَيَّ فَدَعَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وَلِيَّهَا فَقَالَ أَحْسِنْ إِلَيْهَا. So she told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I am deserving of had, I'm deserving of this punishment, because I have committed zina. Can you imagine what level of sidq, what level of honesty Sahaba had? That she knew what the punishment is going to be. But doesn't matter what the punishment is, I've done something wrong and I deserve punishment for what I have done. I'd rather come clean in dunya. I'd rather be honest in the dunya so that in the akhirat I can also be clean. If I'm going to duck and dive in this dunya, I don't know what's going to happen to me in the akhirat. So she was pregnant also and she came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being totally honest that I've done something wrong, O Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, فَأَقِمْهُ عَلَيَّ, that you instill, you make this had come upon me, you enact this punishment upon me, I deserve it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called her guardian and then he said, أَحْسِنْ إِلَيْهَا, take very good care of this woman. Naturally it would have been a sense of total embarrassment for the family, that what a thing this woman had done. And what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the family, that you look after. فَإِذَا وَضَعَتْ فأتني بها. But when she gives birth, then you bring her to me. ففعل فأمر بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فشدد عليها ثيابها. So when she had given birth, then she was brought to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Her clothing was tightened fast, tight around her, so that naturally at the time when this had is being meted out, stoning is being meted out, even the respect of the woman also is not lost. ثم أمر بها فرجمت ثم صلى عليها. Then it was commanded that she be stoned. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janazah salah upon her. In another riwayat it comes that she came after she had given birth. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had said that she must go back and let her finish wean off the child. After she came back, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam asked, is there anybody to look after the child? So he said, there is somebody to look after the child. Then only was this punishment meted upon her. And then, according to our mazhab, it is even permissible for the imam here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, according to this hadith, he performed the janazah salat, showing that such a respect, that one is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mustn't be trampled upon, it mustn't be lightened, and the other is the respect of the person also, that was necessary for this person, that was meted out, beyond that no further punishment should be taken. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the family, ahsin ilayha, take good care of her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq of realizing there's such beautiful balance in our deen. Sometimes we may think that this is such a difficult punishment, but in Islam, these difficult punishments, or they seem difficult, are very important. Because if there's, for example, if there's no cutting of the hands, then you'll see the total lawlessness that takes place in our country. We can see it all the time. And go to those countries where they've got this had, where they've got these punishments that seem so difficult, but the whole community, the whole public enjoys peace and safety. Everyone is enjoying aman. There's no fear of hijacking, shooting, looting, raping. All that is not there. Why? Because these punishments are there. So when people see this, then automatically they get afraid. The whole public can enjoy peace and safety. And take these things out and try and put every other law that is not the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there'll be no peace, there'll be no safety. So these are not oppressive rules, they're not oppressive laws, but they have to be like this, they have to be in that place, so that there's total law and order, there's total peace, there's total safety, there's total amount of respect left in people for men, for ladies. There's no rape, there's no nothing, because person will be scared. This is the punishment that will be meted out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.